with the chance to be history makers.
Steve Clare, what a hero.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army. In downtown Boston. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott McKenna is back in training as Scotland continue their Morocco preparations. Nico Raskin attracts interest from Italy as Rangers fans await a managerial announcement. And Motherwell's Eli Just makes his mark at the World Cup with two goals for New Zealand. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Simon Donnelly and Gordon DL.
Yeah, it's certainly all happening in football, isn't it? I think everybody's gripped by the World Cup, especially after the weekend. I think some people will just be getting back to normal life, I've got to say. And then it's a build-up to Friday night, and we go once again. Morocco, looking forward to it. Great news, McKenna back in as well. I think we need the full squad because it'll be interesting to see what Steve Clarke decides to do on Friday, because everybody's talking about change of personnel, probably a change of tactics and formation. And then you look at the domestic side, you know, the situation with Rangers, Celtic, and, you know, transfers, everybody that's club football looking to see who's bringing in. Motherwell still without a manager as well. Lots to get on about and lots to talk about.
Yeah, we're sort of in that period of limbo, Simon, where you're still looking back on what happened at the weekend, but most people just can't wait for Friday to come around.
Absolutely. World Cup fever has taken grip well and truly. Brilliant result on Saturday, stroke Sunday morning. As you say, Andrew, I think the whole nation will still be recovering. But with eyes firmly set on Friday night, what a big game that's going to be for us. And we can only do what we can do. We get the result against Haiti. Two difficult games. I watched the Brazil-Morocco game before our game the other night. Two good teams. I think Morocco possibly shaded that game. So it'll be a difficult one for us, but we've put ourselves in a good position.
I've heard some interesting stories of how people watched the Scotland-Haiti game. I think yours is probably right
it's
up there.
It's certainly up there. Yeah, I was up in Shetland for a Celtic gig, believe it or not, hosted by Chit Young, believe it or not. And I ended up watching the game in my hotel room with Jackie Mack and Chick Young. And Chick said, he says he's covered all these World Cups over the years, and the last thing he thought he'd have been doing was sharing a room with us two. I can't tell you what he called us for the Scotland game, but he had a little sleep at half time as well. We had to wake him up for the second half.
Is that right?
Yeah. Imagine Chick Young sleeping in your bed.
0141 951 1025 on the phones, whether it is Scotland that is on your mind, because as I said, we're in that sort of in-between period between the two games. I know many of you just can't wait for the Morocco match to come around, but any thoughts you've got on the national side? We're going to cross live to Boston, see what's been going on over there in the last 24 hours. We're going to speak to some supporters live from Boston, and we'll hopefully be speaking to plenty of you on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Just on the World Cup, it is, the scheduling is so strange that you wake up in the morning and you just see that things are happening while you're sleeping. You've got no idea what's going on. I looked at a group chat when I woke up of a couple of people that are over in Boston, and all they were talking about was Elijah Just. And I was thinking, what's going on here? Obviously, I hadn't realised that New Zealand, Iran were playing. He's gone out, scored two goals. What an impact for him.
Yeah, he's been absolutely brilliant for Motherwell, rightly so nominated for Scottish Player of the Year. I thought his season's been great. He's a big, big player for Motherwell. Call up to the international squad, no bigger stage to go out there. Do you know, if you're Motherwell, you're thinking, hold on a minute, is this good or bad? Because we've lost our manager. And you know what like it is? If you go out there and have a good World Cup, people sit up and notice, but then you think, the price has just gone up and up and up. So it'll be interesting to see. Listen, I'm not surprised with this boy. This boy's an absolute superb player. And then you've got to look at what the big result of the tournament so far is. Cape Verde against Spain, 0-0. And I watched the game. And do you know something? They deserved it. They defended it with their life. They were excellent. But it shows you that there's no easy games, unless you're Germany, right enough, in this World Cup.
01419511025. And if that's not enough motivation to call in, well, what about this? Because Scotland's return to the world stage continues this Friday night when we take on Morocco at the Boston Stadium. Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be on air from 10 p.m. live from Scotland's fan zone at the Brayhead Arena in Glasgow. Plus, we'll be back again on Wednesday, the 24th of June, for Scotland's final group game against Brazil. And how would you like to be there? Every night this week, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the fan zone on Wednesday, the 24th. And all you have to do is call the show. If you get on air, you'll be entered into the draw. Simple as that. It opens from 6 o'clock. There's going to be former pros, the likes of Alan Hutton, Michael Stewart, on stage alongside some comedians. Plus, your Clyde One Super Scoreboard team will be there too. If that's not enough, we'll chuck in £50 for food and drink for every winner. And you can either use that to celebrate Scotland qualifying for the knockouts or use it to drown your sorrow. I don't like the pessimistic sound of what I've just read there. We're using it to celebrate. That's what's happening. Yeah. It's been used to celebrate. It's over 18s only, and all the T's and C's are on our website. So give us a call right now, 01419511025. You could be heading along to Brayhead Arena. And the kickoff is slightly earlier too, which is you'll be glad about, Gordon.
Well, I tell you what, for an old fella, I lasted very, very well. I think Tony Watt started getting a little bit more tired before
who
I did.
Tapyard Social at Merchant City Square.
And I've got to say, after listening, the hosts were absolutely fantastic.
I know the boy, Ian.
He was absolutely fantastic, brilliant. It was a great night. The excitement to share the one as well, where I call them the Tartan Army, the Scotland supporters behind us in the place, was incredible. The atmosphere was incredible. So I'm looking forward to, once again, Friday night, because at Brayhead, I think it'll just be the same story. I think the fans will be out there, they'll be excited, they'll be looking forward to it, and they'll create a brilliant atmosphere. So whoever wins those tickets, very, very lucky.
What time did you wake up on the Sunday?
Didn't go to sleep.
You didn't go to sleep at all?
No, didn't go to sleep. I waited till about 8 o'clock that night and decided, right, okay, because I'm not one that can get back at. I think we get back home about 5:40, and you're thinking, this is a waste of time. So, no, and 2 o'clock finished Friday. That's easy.
I woke up and I maybe got 3 hours sleep, something like that. I had to come in and do the show. I didn't know whether I was in Canvas Lang or Kenya.
I seen bits on social media, the Scotland fans still on the streets at 6-7 o'clock.
Oh, so when I was driving back from the show that we did, 5 o'clock we finished, it was broad daylight, and I was driving home, and honestly, the streets, it was people wandering down like zombies, covered in salt tires and kilts, waddling their way down the pavements. There was a guy trying to flag me down as a taxi for some reason. It was quite the sight. But everyone in good spirits. So that's what we're hoping is going to
absolutely
like.
Brilliant. I've got to say,
what were the scenes over there?
I was actually talking to Andrew before we come on here. I'm one of those people, I don't like travelling, so when we weren't going over, I wasn't too concerned. I sat last night on my phone and I watched it for about an hour. And I thought, my goodness, I'm missing out. That is unbelievable. They fans over there, incredible. They have won the World Cup for support. If it's supporters, they have won the World Cup, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, good timing. Let's go over live to Boston and speak to Gabriel Antoniazzi, who is in the greatest bar in Boston. I feel like I always need to caveat that with, that's the name of the bar. I'm not just branding it that, but Gabriel is there and he's going to be telling us what's been happening over the last 24 hours since we last spoke to you.
Yeah, Andrew, good afternoon from the greatest bar in Boston, the greatest sports bar in New England. I mean, it did run out briefly of tenants over the weekend, but they've got a new shipment in. So any Scots looking to come down, we're still here and we'd love to have you on the show. But yeah, good afternoon from America. You were talking there about it being the in-between days, you know, don't know whether to look back to Haiti or look ahead to Morocco. Well, the Tartan Army are still partying, but you've now got the added aspect of Norwegian and Iraqi fans partying in the city as well. Of course, the two teams get their World Cup campaigns underway today down at Foxborough. That's 6 o'clock local time kickoff. I believe it's 11 p.m. back home. And it's just encapsulated what the World Cup is all about, Andrew. I'm sure All of you watching and listening at home have seen videos of all of the fans mixing here in the city centre. I was out yesterday. I met a bunch of Iraqi Americans who were suntanning on a boat going around Boston Harbour yesterday afternoon. Also caught up with the Norwegian Tartan Army. Andrew, I'm sure you remember we interviewed them in Stuttgart 2 years ago at the Euros on game day against Hungary. Well, they've been following us for the last two tournaments, and they're now supporting both Norway and Scotland at this World Cup. One of the lads, Krista, spent $1,200 on a ticket to the Haiti game an hour before the match. He got on the train, didn't have a ticket, and managed to buy one on his phone for $1,200. I don't know if I've heard of anyone paying more than that just for a standard ticket. And this is from a Norwegian bloke. So fair play to him, showing his dedication as well. Let's see how Erling Haaland, Martin Odegaard and co get on this afternoon. But I think what Sid was touching on earlier, the amount of draws as well that we've seen in this World Cup, the 1-0 win over Haiti, each day is looking like a better result. Even yesterday, Elijah Just, his New Zealand side, not fancied at all getting a 2-2 draw. So any 3 points are so, so valuable. Just an update on the weather as well. I know you'd be very jealous back home to know that it's 25 degrees today. That's the coldest it's been since we've been here in America. But it's dropped in terms of its humidity. It doesn't have that really clammy, unbearable feeling anymore. And that's the way it's meant to stay here in Boston until Friday night's game against Morocco, which would be a big benefit to our boys, especially considering this time it's a 6 o'clock kickoff local time, 3 hours earlier than the Haiti game. So the sun will still be up. So that drop in temperature could be crucial by the time the end of the week comes.
The story about the Norwegian fan just shows the impact that the Tartan Army can have on people, because I don't think the guy, Chris or Gabs can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think he really had any previous links to Scotland and spent so much time with the Tartan Army in Germany and Stuttgart and Cologne, and he gets so wrapped up in it that he then, by pure coincidence, ends up in the same city as Scotland fans for the World Cup, because Norway are playing tonight and he's over there, to the extent that he sneaks on a train, goes to Foxborough and pays $1,200 just so he can go and watch the Scotland-Haiti game. So
it's incredible.
It just shows.
I think it shows the effect that the Tartan Army have on people. I think whenever we go to these tournaments, we've not been at a World Cup for so long, but the last 2 Euros, Germany certainly, there's friendships made everywhere. But that's some going for a Norwegian guy to be forking out that sort of money to go and watch us playing. Speaks volumes.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it? As I said, I think that if it was a World Cup for fans, Scotland would have been lifting the trophy by now. The scenes over there are incredible.
The national anthem was incredible. It was just full of Scots, which it probably was, but then they take over the baseball as well. Did you see that?
Yeah, incredible. We went to Germany. I thought Germany was very, very good indeed. I told everybody when I come back about the atmosphere, but Gabs is there, witness it live. It must be sensational. These are memories that these guys will live with for the rest of their life. No. There's no doubt about that. The only thing is, I'm a wee bit jealous how long they can party for, because I think I'd be lying in my bedroom and I'd try to get a recovery, cuddling any chick.
Gabriel, you mentioned the fact that, you know, other teams are now playing in Boston. There are games tonight. There are games on other days. There will be supporters from other countries in Boston, but are they all just completely outnumbered by Scottish people, or is it just from what I see on social media, because my algorithm is all Scotland fans and that's all I see?
No, they are totally outnumbered by Scotland fans. It's ridiculous. You'd think today that there's three teams playing, Scotland, Iraq and Norway. There's more Scotland jerseys out there than those two combined. But actually, when I was speaking to the lad Krista from the Norwegian Tartan Army, he said what he loves about Scotland fans is that they travel in their numbers no matter if they have a ticket or not. And that's not what Norwegians would do, he said. This is from a Norwegian man that lives in Oslo. He said, you're not going to travel all this way and spend all of this money if you don't have a ticket. But that Norwegians don't understand it's so much more than that. As Dazzler says, it's memories to last a lifetime. People are coming over here for a holiday, for a party, to catch up with people from Australia or America, relatives that they've not seen in a decade. All of that. That's what makes this so, so special. And Gordon DL, on one hand, we're all missing you. We wish you were here. I'm not getting any question asked me more than, where's the Dazzler? That's what most people I interview ask. But I think you're glad you're back at home, because as you said, you would be knackered with the heat, with the time difference, with all of the flat pints you'd have consumed by here. You'd be on the wine, by the way. The pints here are terrible, Dazzler. You would be in your bed most of the time. So I'm glad you're back home resting up, okay?
Yeah, I'm happy with that, Gabs. I actually, believe it or not, I was looking at flights to come out, maybe and join you in Miami, but I'll wait and see. I fancy the Miami trip. I think that looks a good one on paper.
You can squeeze in next to me. I'm already sharing a room with a camera operator, Paul, but we could just top and tail that. No problem, mate.
Look forward to it.
Nothing but luxury for Gabs and the staff over there having to share. I think it's just a room. I don't think it's a bed.
Just a room. Nice big room. It's fine.
You know, it is incredible just seeing the supporters over there. Nice for the guy Krister just to be able to drop $1,200 at the drop of a hat on a Scotland ticket. But that is part of it, and you see it when, you know, domestic clubs are away in Europe. You know, I've done several Celtic and Rangers trips, and you see supporters. There are way more supporters over there than would be allowed in the away section of any ground, because it's not just about going over there and the game, it's everything around it that makes it so special.
Yeah, as I said, the national anthem the other night, the Scotland fans took over that stadium completely. Emotional watching it at the time, watching the videos back, incredible. We get the first result on the board as well, which gives us every chance. It's been fantastic so far. I think the fact that the two games are in Boston has given guys the chance to drop anchor there for that period of time, and you know, it's an experience that the people in Boston will never forget.
Almost sounded as if Gabriel was trying to put you off the idea of going over and joining him there.
I don't worry, I've bombed Gabriel. I've already looked up Stephen Mills.
You sound as if you're
me.
Going.
Stephen Mills, I done a podcast with Stephen Mills yesterday, and I've got to say he looked like he enjoyed his weekend, let me tell you that right now.
Are you doing a lot of the heavy lifting on that podcast?
I've never seen someone with an expression on his face going, please hurry up so I can get back to my bed. Right. But he's invited me over, so I'll have a look.
I can see you've been there.
Yeah, thanks.
Sounds as if the ball was already rolling.
Gordon DL on Miami Beach sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Right, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We've been live to Boston. Now we want to hear your thoughts on Scotland. And how about this? How well do you know your international football? You can take part in our free football predictor with the chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. We're looking for Super Scoreboard's best armchair pundits that are going to predict how the summer's football is going to unfold. All you have to do is try and put all the groups in order, predict who's going to make it through to the knockout stages. You can play against fellow Scotland fans. You can enter now for your chance to win £1,000 in Amazon vouchers. There's going to be some runner-up prizes on the go too. Entries close this Friday, the 18th of June, at 5 o'clock. You can enter now at Clyde1.com, and you can find the details on the Clyde1 Super Scoreboard social channel.
Taking your calls on Scottish football, 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde1 Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde1 Super Scoreboard. Of course, the main attraction is the fact that Scotland are building up to that game against Morocco on Friday. So keep the calls coming on that. A bit later on, we'll look at some of the domestic matters that are going on in Scottish football. But, of course, we're looking towards Scotland. The sort of big team news today is that Scott McKenna is back in training. He wasn't available for the first game. He'd been training individually, I think back in full training now. And it just gives Steve Clarke another option, especially when people are talking about, you know, could he potentially change the shape and go to a back three? Does he stay with a back four? It gives Steve Clarke another option, but also an option in someone that he has used very consistently over his time.
Yeah, I think he played in the warm-up games, didn't he? I think there will be changes with these two games coming up. I think one of the strikers might be removed, for whether it's a midfielder or a defender, we'll have to wait and see.
The big question is, where do you play him in the back three? Because he's a left-sided player. And if you're going to play a back three and bring in a left-sided player, I think you're bringing in Tierney.
Tierney, yeah. Mm.
So, but I think it's a good headache to have, and I do think he will change his formation.
Let's play three at the back.
Yeah,
in both games, or wait and see how Morocco goes.
Yeah, I think he'll certainly change his formation against Morocco.
Let's speak to Stuart on the line. Stuart, why don't you first of all tell us exactly where you are?
We are currently in a cab driving to Syracuse, after having spent a couple of nights in New York. My cousin David's driving. My youngest son is in the back seat, kind of half sleeping. We've got to see back to my cousins in Syracuse, and then we're going to Niagara for a night, and then we're driving back to Hamilton to watch the game on Friday at my other cousin Jack's. And his big brother and I played golf last Tuesday at Mount Hill Golf Club. His cousin, my cousin Colin, I haven't seen for 45 years. So the combination of Scotland getting through to the World Cup and having family here, immediately when McKenna scored that goal, I booked the flights. That was it.
Unbelievable.
And, it's been brilliant. I mean, the game wasn't great, let's be honest. I don't think the game was great, but the result was absolutely amazing. We all know that.
Please tell me, are you going to Miami as well?
No, unfortunately not. I'll be back. I'm thinking it might be an omen, though, because obviously the next one at the basketball, underdogs, first time in 53 years. A lot of the underdogs have put a bit of shock about some of the results, you know, Cape Verde. Mm-hmm. And, me and my youngest son will be back home, and it'll probably be the first time we qualify for the group stages. So, who knows?
So much of it is about how people are experiencing it, who they're sharing it with, Simon, and, you know, Stuart's story is just another...
It's brilliant.
That you just have no idea what people are going through over these couple of weeks.
I think he said they're 45 years since he's seen his cousin, and he's got his boy in the back seat there sleeping, but that'll be memories... That wee guy will have forever, you know, and that's what it's all about. You know, he's getting over there, experiencing that first game, experiencing a winner, first win since 1990. And I remember all those things, you know, growing up with my dad watching the 82 World Cup, so that'll stick in that wee guy's mind. But that's what it's all about. And if we can get out of this group, it's going to be even better.
It's the first thing I'd done. I got out of the family tree to see if I had any relatives in America, but unfortunately I had none. And even if it was 45 years, I'd have been on the phone saying, oh, I've missed you. I was always meaning to give you a phone. But listen, I said at the top of the show, I think the fans, you can't speak highly enough of them. They've travelled in numbers, they're paying a lot of money, and they are a credit to this country. They've been absolutely brilliant. And Stuart is making memories there that a lot of people are. And I'm so jealous, I must admit.
Stuart, by the sounds of it, you're feeling pretty confident that we're going to get through to the knockout stages.
Well, I wouldn't say 100% confident. I mean, let's be honest, we're up against a good team in Morocco. But do you know what? We'll beat Spain. You know, so who knows? I think it's a year of the underdog. I'm hoping and praying it is.
We mentioned it earlier on, and we talked about it on the show last night, that Cape Verde result is the type of thing that you can look to, you can use as motivation, because much smaller nation than us playing against Spain and managing to get a point would pretty much see Scotland through, would pretty much guarantee the fact that we would get through to the knockout stages. You know, it's different styles, it's different teams, it's huge changes, but it shows it can be done. And you shouldn't go out there with any fear going into these games.
I mean, I watched that game as well, but as Daz said, Cape Verde defended with their lives, you know, blocking things, and the keeper had a good game.
I think one of their central defenders plays his football in the League of Ireland.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the sort of level you're talking about. And Scott, we've got players playing at the highest level that are key players for their teams at the highest level.
Exactly.
And they've got a central defender who's playing his football. I think he's the first ever player to play at a World Cup and be playing in the League of Ireland at the same time. So, you know, we shouldn't be going in with a sort of inferiority complex in these games.
I don't think we will. I think in young Ben Gannon-Doak, we've got somebody who can strike fear into defences with his pace. McGinn is a talisman there. He's just won the Europa League with Aston Villa. He scored their first goal. McTominay, after illness, it maybe wasn't his best game, but we've got players there that can stand up at moments in the game. But you have to respect the opposition. But you only have to go back to yesterday with the Cape Verde result, and it kind of it reflects well on our result, because as Stuart said there, I don't think we were brilliant the other night. We were hanging on a wee bit, and a wee bit of luck needed in the second half, but you win the game.
We're going into a different scenario now, right? I said at the weekend, we've dipped our toe into the World Cup, and we went in under pressure because we were firm favourites to win this. and we did win it, okay, we'd have loved to have seen maybe a couple of more goals, but the most important thing, 3 points. And Friday night, we're going in probably as underdogs, let's be honest. Yeah. And secondly, Morocco won't play the defensive way. You looked at them against Brazil. After about 10-15, they were right at Brazil. They were on the front foot. Yeah. They were getting players forward, very attacking minded. That might suit Scotland. You know what I mean? I think Scotland are at their poorest when they have to
take the game to the opposition
mm-hmm. and create things. Stuart talks about the teams we've beat, right? The big teams like Spain. Because Spain comes and play. They come out and play against you. They go on the front foot against you. And I think that's why we're good against the big teams. And the pressure's off us. We've got 3 points in the bag. We've got two games. 1 point cements it for us, let's be honest about it. Three might still be enough. But I've got a feeling that we're going to work our way into this tournament. Me personally, I think if I was looking at the point, I think it's coming in Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would, as much as I would love to see us get something in Morocco, I really like Morocco, I've got to say. I think they've got a lot going for them. But I just feel that against Brazil, if we had to get into that game and get a point, I think we're very capable of that.
See, now this is starting to concern me a little bit, because this narrative was creeping into the show over the last couple of nights, that we had a couple of callers coming on and saying, you know, Brazil aren't the Brazil of old. You know, you look at some of the players, they're not that great, which, yes, they're not the Brazil of old, but they are still an extremely good side with very dangerous players.
They're still Brazil. Vinicius Jr. pops up with a fantastic goal the other night. But I know what Daz is saying there. I think that will be, if there is an easier, that will be the easier game of the two, I think. I think the difficult one's on Friday. I think Morocco are a dark horse to win the tournament.
Oh, I think, honestly, after watching them, and it's very easy just to say, right, you look at a team, you go, oh, they're very, very good. But Morocco started off against Brazil, right? And as you quite rightly said, they're good players and everything about them. They forced Brazil into a lot of missed passes right early on because of the pace, the tempo, everything about them. I think if Morocco keep this up, now, it's not impossible for us to go out and get a good result against, of course it isn't, but if Morocco keep that up the way they played against Brazil, they will certainly go deep into this tournament, no doubt about it.
Thank you to Stuart. Enjoy the rest of your travels over there in the US. Right, let's speak to Gary, who's in Barrhead. Gary, what are you thinking ahead of Friday?
Good evening, panel. How are we doing?
Hi, Gary.
I'd just like to say the worldwide social media for the Tartan Army is absolutely second to none. No Scotland, no party, definitely. All the videos come out. Everyone wishes they were there, to be honest. Let's say that. But what I would like to say about the Friday game coming up, going to play a 4-4-2, but how does the panel feel about Adams and Shankland playing up front together? And a personal message, I thought that the two of them, both of them are amazing strikers, but both of them shared the same blade of grass. I can't see the two of them playing together. How do you feel about the striking partnerships going up front? Or do you think it's going to go to a one up front?
I'll split that into two things and deal with them separately. First of all, how do you think Shea Adams and Lauren Shankland worked together the other night? And we saw it in the Bolivia game. Do you think that it's a partnership that can work going forward? We saw it did work against Bolivia. Yeah, maybe it wasn't as fluid the other night.
Yeah, you've took the words right out of my mouth there. It was effective against Bolivia. I don't less so the other night. I think they found it difficult to get in the game. Whether they work together, it's, you know, they've only had the two games. I think that one of them will be removed from the team. And then the debate after that is, Daz thinks maybe a back three or an extra midfielder. But I don't see them starting with the two of those or any two strikers in the Morocco game on Friday.
Now, I'm not going to base it in one game. It's very easy to base something in one game and go, oh, that doesn't work. If they were playing Cape Verde, for instance, on Friday, I'd play Shankland and Adams all day long. Mm. Right, look, they didn't have the greatest game. Tell me who really, if you look through the Scotland squad, who really did? Your big players like McTominay didn't either. You know, there's one or two. I thought Gannon Doak early was brilliant down the right-hand side. But it wasn't a great team performance. So I'm not going to rip, I wouldn't rip up the idea of when we're going for goals and we look the favourites to get into games, that this 4-4-2 doesn't work. because I think it could work. It just didn't work the other night there. Yeah. Let's be honest about it.
But you don't think that's the way to go against Morocco?
Dropping
that striker, is that adding an extra number into midfield?
I think Ryan Christie's got to come into the thoughts of Steve Clarke, of course he is. And if he goes to a three, then you're looking at maybe Gannon Doak probably making an impact from the bench. And the one thing I liked about him, I watched his interview the other day there, right? I think it was yesterday. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant. Great attitude. He turned around and said, look, I love playing football. I love it. I love playing for my country. But if I'm not picked, then I accept that because I might make an impact from the bench. And I love that attitude because he knows it's not about him. It's about the country just now. It's about the best team on the night to go and try and get a point or maybe 3 points to cement that place in the next round.
So, Gary, were you saying you think it will be 4-4-2 again?
I hope so. And I thought the boy Henry played an amazing game on the left back there. Not seen much of him, but I thought he pushed up well. I don't know if that's going to work in Morocco, for Morocco, but Adam and Shanklin, just every time I looked up and saw them, the two of them were side by side. It's like they naturally just, when you naturally play football, you either turn one way or turn the other, and you always want to hover about one space, and both of them seem to hover along the same space. The only time I saw them differ was when Adam brought that beautiful ball down for 50 yards on his toe and then crossed it in. That's the only time Adam went wide and it sort of worked. But the two of them don't really link together. I would have Adam and Shanklin, what's his name, Lyndon Dykes on first, because Lyndon's got some pace as well, and the two of them split up and they play well together and then bring Shanklin on after. Because Shanklin, I mean, nobody holds the ball up like Shanklin, and the guy knows where the net is.
Thank you to Gary. This is when you know the World Cup is on, because I'm just watching the TV here and there's always just some nonsense going on.
Yeah, I'm watching it myself. Why, is this England?
Why are there always animals predicting the outcomes of games? Was it not Paul the Octopus one year that was predicting games? It seems to have...
They're probably better on humans.
Yeah, they're showing lions predicting or tigers predicting.
Hold on. Where would I went with Mark Walsh and Rod?
You did it. Was this in Germany?
I honestly
you went to a zoo in Germany.
This had lived with me since Germany. I thought that nightmare was over. It was a sight to behold. And the guy had to sort of got it to go up and pick the winner of the Scotland gamer. It was absolutely incredible. Honestly,
it was a goat.
Was that a goat?
Yeah.
And I've just
looked it up. It was a goat that was trying to.
What's the name of it? It had a name.
Oh, I'll need to try.
And by the way, I've got to say, it would have been a well fancied goat.
Oh, Hannes.
Hannes!
FC Colne's mascot. And here's the video of you and Mark Wilson going down. Was it not quite early in the morning? You were dragged along to go and see this goat that was going to predict whether Scotland were going to win a game.
And let me just say, we're on radio, but me and Mark's eyes both turned to the one thing in the goat. Let me tell you that now.
Right.
That was an impressive goat.
Plenty of that. Let me tell you about this.
Goal! Just absolutely magnificent.
Clyde One. Make me a
Dawn joined our 750,000 winning team on Friday, and we're doing the same this Friday. The road to life-changing cash starts right here. Get your place in the draw now. Text YES to 61025, text or 250, plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 0344 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Don't miss out. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. All you need to do is answer the call, and £750,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Keep your calls coming on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly taking your calls on all things Scotland in the first hour of the show. Maybe a bit later on, we'll take a look at some of the domestic matters doing the rounds. Of course, Rangers still waiting on that managerial announcement that's going to see Danny Rule move to RB Salzburg, Dennett McInnes move to Rangers. We'll take a look at the fact that Elijah Just has made his impact at the World Cup. He's now the joint top goal scorer. What does that mean for Motherwell? Of course, there's still no solution when it comes to Celtic's backroom staff. So maybe we'll see what Simon's got to think about that. 01419511025. Let's cross live to Boston, because I think Gabriel has a Scotland supporter that can chat to us.
Yes, I do. Joined by Robbie from Cumbernauld. Thank you very much for joining us, Robbie. First of all, just tell us how you'd say the atmosphere has been here over the past week, because you've been here same as us since Wednesday.
Yeah, since Wednesday. So far, the atmosphere has been absolutely crazy, to be honest. First couple of days, absolutely packing. Still busy today, so hoping for it to pick up again for the game on Friday against Morocco.
Sorry, Gabriel already knows why there's laughter in the studio. Because for some reason, Gabriel only manages to get Scotland fans that have a moustache. And it's just it's just always two guys with a moustache standing. It's happened honestly, I think it's happened every single night of the show so far over in Boston. What is going on?
Listen, at least I wore a plain top today, because I could have been wearing this exact top and we'd have been wearing the same top and the same moustache. So
the first time you came on screen tonight, I got a message from Roger Hanna saying that we'd bullied you into washing that coral Scotland away top.
No, that is firmly in the wash. It was stinking. It was absolutely stinking. So plain top for me today. Now, listen, it's the fashion. Robbie, you got a lovely moustache. You actually got a bit more of a beard than me, I'd say.
It's a wee bit shorter, my one, but it's a fashion statement, isn't it?
So. It is. Exactly, mate. Listen, you weren't at the game, but you were at the fan zone. That's right, wasn't it?
Yeah, fan zone.
What was the fan zone like?
The fan zone was wild. Obviously, Brazil and Morocco were playing before it, so I think I must have proposed to three or four Brazilian birds. It's a good time, though. The game was good. The game was good as well, but it was mainly the proposals I was interested in.
So you're going down to Miami for the Brazil game?
We're not. We're just staying here the whole time.
I thought you might be tempted then after seeing Brazil. So we're trying to get Gordon DL to come to Miami as well. So
I think after what Robbie said, I think Gordon DL is now on Skyscanner on his phone trying to get the next flight booked.
Did they have any joy? That's what I want to know.
Less said about that, the better.
Yeah, I think that's probably the correct route to go down, Robbie. Just talk to us about your experience being over there, sharing it with your friends. I'm assuming every single corner you turn in Boston, there are just Scotland fans absolutely everywhere.
No, honestly, it's wild. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Obviously, we paid a lot to be here, but the atmosphere, the culture, just America in general is unbelievable. So I'm enjoying every single minute of it. We've still got a week left, so hopefully we can get another result on Friday to finish it off on a high.
Do you think the national team are going to be able to extend their stay over in America?
Listen, I'm hoping they get to the final. I'm staying the whole time if they are. Top of the group just now, so that's more than we can ask for, so...
So have you got a sort of open-ended, have you got a flight booked home, or are you just waiting to see how long it takes for Scotland to get kicked out?
Yeah, the flight's booked home on Monday, but it can always be extended. So there's cash in the bank there, let's say that. So we can stay if we need to.
I think that's one of the most interesting things, Andrew, is that when we look at Scotland fans, it looks like there's more of us here than any other team we've seen so far. And I think a part of that is... people just go over and think, you know what, we're only getting three games at the tournament. We've got to go over and be there for that. But now we've won the opening game, I'm starting to hear boys saying, you know what, am I going to stay out? Am I going to go home after the Morocco game, then come back out for the last 32? That's starting to be on people's minds as well. So you're saying if we get to the last 32 and let's say it's in New York City is an option, could that be an option for you?
Yeah, 100%. New York's not too far. So as long as the US Knicks aren't playing, then we might be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe Scots will be dominating. I never know.
I think one of the options is still Mexico at the Azteca in Mexico City, which I just imagine a Scottish takeover of Mexico City.
Listen, I'm going to need too many wedding rings if we end up going to Mexico, so hopefully not. Keep me in America, please. I've not got that much money in the account. Come on.
Mate, being a guy who's been married three times, if you get married, you'll not have any money in your account. Let me tell you that.
That's why I'm trying to stay single here at the moment. But listen, if a Brazilian girl offers me marriage, then why not?
Honestly, I think Gordon DL is just going to fly over there to take you under his wing, Robbie.
I can see the smile in his face, I'm telling you. I can see the smile from here.
We talked about the experiences, but that is sort of the wonder of it as well, that we don't know when this is going to end, that there is every chance that Scotland get through to the knockout stages, make history, and then all of a sudden it becomes planning for all the supporters to be like, right, what city, what country could the game be in? Because it might not even be in the US.
I know the Azteca that would be amazing for Scotland to be in that. I watched that first game. I thought the final should be there. That so much prestige and history in that stadium. Scotland taking over Mexico.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? Let's not be kidded, because I've got a feeling like everybody else that we're going to qualify here, right? I really do. And then all of a sudden, if you're in America and you're in that bubble, the planning, you know, people are expecting your families, your work or whatever. People are just going to say, we're here. Mm. And Robbie's already said that he's got enough in the bank. And, you know, credit to these guys, I'll tell you, absolutely brilliant. You can't say enough about the Tartan Army.
If Scotland get the results over the next two games, I wonder how many workplaces will be getting phone calls from people saying, I'm feeling really under the weather.
We'll be looking for a few more bank holidies, won't we? We get a bit of stick. We'll look for a few more of them.
Pile them all into the next few weeks.
Listen, as I say, I've got a feeling we will do that. So there's got to be a headache for a lot of Scottish fans. But look, nobody expected them to turn up in the numbers they did at Boston. I was overwhelmed when I seen that, I've got to say. And the commitment, and not just from Scotland, all over the world. Andrew, we had people on for Australia, everything going over there. Just wanted to be part of it. People obviously don't have tickets. You've seen the march to the baseball. They just took over. They've been loved by the Americans. So, listen, long may it continue for the Scotland fans.
Robbie, we spoke about your tactics of trying to chat up the locals. What about the tactics on the pitch? What does Steve Clarke need to do against Morocco? Who needs to play? Who maybe should drop out? How does Scotland get a result?
Yeah, I think he'll maybe change the formation and maybe play 4-5-1, load the midfield. I think the decision for me is who he puts up top, if he goes with that formation, whether it's Shankland or Adams. But I trust the guy. He's got three tournaments now, so he's God in my eyes.
When it comes to one up top, you know, I think naturally people will look at it being either Shea Adams or Lorna Shankland, because they are the two that started the other night. They started against Bolivia. We saw Lyndon Dykes come on against Haiti. He offers something very different, Lyndon Dykes, and he has been really trusted by Steve Clarke over the years. If Scotland maybe want to go a bit more direct in the next couple of games, if they maybe want someone that's going to help make the ball stick up there and buy Scotland a bit of time, could you see him being a potential option? You not really see him starting?
I don't see him starting. I think Che Adams will start. I think for his mobility up there, I think the best finisher is Shankland by any stretch of the imagination, but the way the game will go, I think he'll look for somebody that can run into channels, maybe put a bit, chase lost causes, because I think we'll be under a lot of pressure. I think he'll go with Adams up top on his own.
That'll be interesting. I think what he'll probably do for the last few days is just sit down, analyse Morocco, and pick the best team. I've got a funny feeling he'll change the formation. I don't think he'll stick to his four. I think he may go with I think he may go with a three, with the two wing backs providing the width, and obviously the minute we lose the ball, getting into a five, and I think he'll play one off main striker, whoever that may be.
I think it was when Scotland qualified for the World Cup and beat Denmark, there was a lot of World Cup talk, and I think there was a caller that phoned in and said he went to France 98 and had never returned to Scotland. He went there and just never came back. And I've now just got visions of Robbie never returning to Scotland. No matter when Scotland get knocked out of the tournament, even if we win the tournament, I'm not sure we're going to see Robbie back on Scottish soil again.
His Brazilian wife.
Yeah, he's certainly going to enjoy himself. Right, thank you for your time, Robbie. I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It was a Beat the Pundit debut last night for Greg Taylor, who got a five, but it was five all, and he lost the tiebreaker from a guy that he went to school with that phoned in. Yeah, so he was unlucky on his debut. Five's not a bad score.
Five's good.
But we'll see
whether
Gordon DL or Simon Donnelly can
five
do well.
Games, mate. You're averaging one a game, aren't you? Your record's terrible. Just
as long as I get one more than the opposition.
Yeah. See the minute somebody comes on and the toss of coin goes to you, just throw a ball of coin right at the door.
Right, your chance to take on either Gordon DL or Simon Donnelly at Beat the Pundit. Ring 0141 951 1025 before 7 o'clock.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still an hour to go to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly here with me, Andrew McLean. We are continuing to build up to Scotland against Morocco, the second game of this World Cup group stage. We're going to take a look at some of the other stories doing the rounds in Scottish football. What about Rangers' managerial situation? Still no announcement about Danny Rule and Derek McInnes. There are reports there's a bit of interest from Italy in Nico Raskin. There is still no solution when it comes to Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, whether they're going to return to their roles at Celtic that they did last season with Martin O'Neill. What about Eli Just? Motherwell fans, how proud were you to see him grab a couple of World Cup goals? So we'll get round to that and we'll go back live to Boston, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
When was the last time you played, Simon? You're a bit out of practice.
Out of practice, yeah. I've not been on for a wee while, so nah, a few weeks ago.
Gordon's been playing
every week,
few days. Pretty much everyone else during the summer on Super Scoreboard, when you look at the leaderboard, almost everyone has played once and you've played five times. You've got four wins, so not a bad record.
Yeah, and you're beating a tiebreaker.
They're all defeats.
Good form.
Defeat's a defeat. Doesn't matter how it happens.
Okay then, yeah.
Brian is in Paisley. Brian, who would you rather face out of these two?
Gordon.
Would you, Brian?
Gordon.
Aye. Are you sure? Would you like to take that back?
No.
Okay.
Have you played before, Brian?
No, actually, no. I'd be happy, whoever, to be honest.
No, Brian.
How do you normally get on when you're playing along at home?
I could be here at home, but I think when you're playing it for real, maybe a wee bit different, but quietly confident.
There we go. Brian's aware of the pressures that come with being on the phone live playing Beat the Pundit. Right, it's going to be the blue side of the coin for Simon Donnelly, the red side of the coin for Gordon DL, and it's the blue side of the coin for Simon Donnelly. So it's going to be Brian in Paisley against Simon Donnelly. We will put something else in the ear of Simon so he can't hear us. And for you, Brian, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass if that helps you out. Is that all good?
Yeah, that's good.
Let's go for it. Haiti's all-time leading goal scorer, Dukens Nazon, previously played for which Scottish side?
St Mirren.
Before Elijah Just, who was the last Motherwell player to have played at a World Cup?
Pass.
Which Eredivisie club has former Rangers manager Giovanni Van Bronckhorst rejoined as head coach?
Feyenoord.
Who was Derek McInnes' first Hearts signing?
Pass.
Which player has made the most World Cup appearances for Scotland?
Pass.
Right, we will bring Simon Donnelly back in. Can you hear me, Simon?
Yes, mate.
30 seconds.
I think you've got a donut written all over you. Let me tell you that right now.
You think those are quite tough?
I think they are tough. Right. I really do.
They're World Cup themed.
Some of that in there, yeah. No. There's some. Not all of them. Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. Haiti's all-time leading goal scorer, Dukens Nazon, has previously played for which Scottish side?
St Mirren.
Before Elijah Just, who was the last Motherwell player to have played at the World Cup?
Pass.
Which Eredivisie club does former Rangers manager Giovanni Van Bronckhorst rejoined as head coach?
Feyenoord.
Who was Derek McInnes' first Hearts signing?
Braga.
Which player has made the most World Cup appearances for Scotland?
Dalglish.
How do you think it went, Brian?
Oh, I think he's just beat me.
1-0.
I don't know, we'll go through them. I think they were quite tough questions.
It's your first answer. I was trying
what did you say?
I tried to throw him off. I don't know who it was. I just put St Mirren home. You would look.
I never even looked either. But I mean, that's
well, by the way,
spooky.
Just as well he didn't look, because it is St Mirren.
Is it?
The correct answer. Yeah.
Is it?
So you didn't look at his bit of paper?
No, I never even seen his paper.
And you didn't even know it was right.
Brian, I thought it was wrong.
Brian knew it. So it is 1-1. That's
oh, what a dubious. Start that is.
So you tried to throw him off and yeah, you wrote the correct answer.
Don't look at his.
I'm so happy you didn't actually look at what he'd written down. You both got it. Yeah, you had a loan spell there in 2019. Before Eli Just, who was the last Motherwell player to have played at a World Cup? Neither of you got it. You got any ideas on this, Gordon?
I have no idea.
For the Republic of Ireland in 1994. Tommy Coyne.
Tommy Coyne.
Tommy Coyne.
So it remains 1-1. Which Eredivisie club has former Rangers manager Giovanni Van Bronckhorst rejoined as head coach? You both said Feyenoord. You both got it right. 2-2. Who was Derek McInnes's first Hearts signing?
Stuart Finlay?
No, it was Alexandros Kizaridis was his first signing. So it remains 2-2 because neither of you got it, and you both got one more question.
What is that?
Which player has made the most World Cup appearances for Scotland? Neither of you got it. Jim Leighton is the answer with 9 World Cup appearances, which means we are going to one of these. What I'm going to do, Brian, is I'm going to read out the question. I'm going to get Simon to write down his answer. You hang fire for a little bit, and then once I've said that Simon's written down his answer, I get you to say yours out loud. Is that fine?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, let's go for it. In the 2025-26 season, how many goals were scored by the top 6 sides combined? In the 2025-26 season, how many goals were scored by the top 6 sides combined?
Go quick. Hurry up before he gets it. Go.
So I'm waiting for Simon to write down his answer.
1,002.
Right, so Brian, what are you going for?
Hurry up, Brian. Stop counting them up.
300.
You've gone for 300. Simon Donnelly, do you want to hold up your bit of paper?
350.
You've gone for 350. The answer is 383. Yes. Simon Donnelly wins on the tiebreaker. Unlucky Brian.
How's it going, Brian?
Just accepted defeat there, Brian. You don't sound that fussed, Brian.
Sorry, couldn't hear you there.
You don't sound that fussed about losing, really, are you?
No. Good on you, Simon. Honestly, that was a good game.
That was a good game because the questions were quite difficult.
That's actually a decent guess.
I can't believe we both get St. Mirren.
Yeah, that's a decent guess on the tiebreaker. 383, 350 is not bad.
Yeah, I was round about 400.
Oh, well, unlucky Brian. I think we can cross back live to Boston and speak to Gabriel Antoniazzi, who has another Scotland fan ready to chat to us.
Yes, I do. I'm joined by James from Johnston. James, we nearly got you on yesterday. I was wearing this top yesterday. You're wearing it today. Tell us how it's been here in Boston for you since you arrived.
Oh, it's been fantastic. Can't complain. It's been absolute 10 out of 10. Everywhere we go, everyone's well received. Everyone's behaving themselves. Excellent.
So tell us, you were at the first game and you're one of the lucky few that are going to all 3 matches.
Yeah, absolutely. All 3 matches, even potentially further than that, hopefully, fingers crossed. So, aye.
We've just been speaking about that with the boys in the studio. How does that work? What's your plan with work, with family life? Are you saying, listen, everything's on hold until I work out if we're going through or not?
Well, it's Scotland first, then work, then everything else. So Scotland tops it a lot.
There you go. That's the mantra here in Boston at the moment, boys.
It's Scotland, work, then family below that. I hope he's not got a wife at home, because that is not going to go down well.
I
hope there's no kids at home either.
To be fair, looking at the pictures, I would confidently say he's not got a wife at home. He's fine.
He's been kind enough to come on the show, take time out of his day.
He comes.
That's the slam on him.
Have a go back at him. Come on.
I'm only kidding, mate.
Don't listen to Gordon DL, please. It takes you down a terrible path.
Just after Scotland had qualified for the World Cup, how quickly did it take you to just get everything booked up and ready to go?
Oh, immediately. Straight online, straight to get the tickets, no messing about.
James, can I ask you a question then? Right, you're well organised for the 3 games. What's your plan if we qualify? Are you going for it again?
We'll just go straight to the final, so just be case of booking the Airbnbs all the way up to the final, Gordon.
Absolutely brilliant. Okay. I'm telling you, the Tartan Army are magnificent. Well done.
Lovely optimism. When it came to getting tickets for the games, as Gabriel said, you're one of the lucky ones that has tickets to all 3 matches. How was that process in trying to get them? Was it stressful? Was it more straightforward than you'd think?
No, straightforward. Lucky enough, I think I'm good about 22, 23 points, TA points, so aye, no problem.
I suppose there are varying levels of Scotland fans that will make the journey over, because there will be some supporters that, you know, maybe aren't the biggest Scotland fans but still feel that this is an opportunity that they can't pass by, that they want to go, and maybe getting to a World Cup makes them more of a Scotland fan. But there's going to be other Scotland supporters like James who have been following Scotland for so long, and you know, this is something that they've dreamed about for their whole lives.
Listen, the fact that it's been 28 years since we've been at a finals as well, folk won't be taking it for granted. I think we did in the past, you know, we were qualifying quite regular and it hasn't happened for 28 years, so I think that's a big factor. I think everybody's saying, right, we don't want to miss out on this one. And there's fan zones as well there, you know. I just think the experience there. I want to ask James, were you all tipped off to go to the baseball the other night? It felt as if the full stadium was Tartan Army. What was the script with that?
It was one of these organised events. It was just it was a big takeover in the Gillette, or Fenway Park, I think it's called. Yeah. So it was just a big takeover. Yeah, it was an absolute party.
James, how much was it to get in?
I couldn't tell you, Gordon.
I'm do you sneak sure. in?
To be fair, I wasn't organising that one. You need to ask my younger brother. He's actually went and got his hair bleached like Craig Burley, so he has to put this on
for this Morocco game.
Brilliant. So who's all out there with you, James?
I'm out there with my younger brother. We're meeting up with a few other boys. I've got my cousins over here as well, so there's a good few.
How long have you and your brother been going to Scotland games, been big Scotland fans?
You go quite a way back. I think maybe 2016, 2017 were very regular. All the home games and then a good few away trips in there too.
That's what you got in there at the right time, right? Is the, you know, just a few years before the major tournaments all started coming around in the Steve Clarke era. Have you noticed a kind of change in the atmosphere in Scotland games in that time, maybe from when you started going regularly to now, just how different it is? What have this squad and Steve Clarke done to capture the imaginations of Scotland supporters?
No, yeah, absolutely. I think that's what Steve Clarke's done. It's made it more into a club feel. And it's definitely brought everybody, including the crowd and all those fans, together.
One thing I did notice at the baseball the other day, I think they were giving out, was it free sort of Red Sox, Scotland jerseys?
I noticed that, yeah.
I mean, Gabriel was complaining that he only had two Scotland tops. I know he was at Fenway Park. Did you not get an extra? Did you not pick up one of those?
Listen, the reason I couldn't get one is because you had to pay for a ticket and I got a freebie ticket, so I couldn't get one of the jerseys. We went into the official Red Sox club shop inside the stadium and asked to buy it, and they said you could only get it if you bought it as part of the Scotland fans, a paid ticket, and I didn't have a paid ticket, so maybe you can give me a borrow of yours. Did you get one of those Red Sox?
I got one size of your medium.
I'll fit in anything.
I'll get you a medium.
Thank you.
That's it. You know that Gabriel...
As we face a medium, oh yeah.
You know that Gabriel has been working with Gordon DL for a long time because he now knows how to get freebies.
The freebies,
that's
yeah.
it. He's now... He's learned from the best.
I thought I'd seen in one of the videos Gary McAllister dancing away at the... The baseball.
Yeah, he's certainly over there, Gary McAllister.
Should have seen him in one of the
seen some photos of him. So, yes, thank you very much to James. I hope you enjoy the rest of your trip. Maybe we'll speak to you again at some point. Maybe him and Gabriel will be in a different city, maybe in a different country.
How far is that then from Boston to Miami? What's that flight?
I think it's 3 hours. It's maybe about 3 hours. Gabriel is still there, I assume. Hopefully, he is making the journey from Boston to Miami. Can he tell us? No signal. Never mind.
Wait for a pint.
Good. We'll put that away from the live stream at the moment, but we will work. 3.5 hours is how long it is.
That is some going into it.
That was a drive. Drive from here to Dingwall.
Yeah,
three and a half hours. But on a plane.
They've been over there. They've been partying every single day, every night. They've been at the games. They're still Friday, still weekend. And then go to the airport, jump the plane. Another 3.5 hours.
Down to take over Miami.
Exactly.
You'll be there.
Right, thank you to the guys in Boston. Let's speak to Brian and East Kilbride. How's it going, Brian?
Yeah, good, thank you, Andrew. Good. How are you doing, guys? All right?
Hi, Brian.
Good, thank you.
I'm actually an old neighbour of Simon's when he first moved to East Kilbride. I used to be down at his house getting me signed shirts and all that for my kids, but it was a long time ago.
In Jackton?
Well, am I allowed to say the name of the street?
Can if you want, eh? Mm-hmm. I don't stay there anymore.
I was going to say, maybe hang fire on the name of the actual street, but if you don't live there anymore, do you live there, Brian?
No, I used to. It was a while ago, but that's it was right, when Simon right. first moved up to Eastcote.
Malcolm Gardens?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Do you remember
you're
Brian?
You stayed a few doors down.
I don't remember Brian, no, but no. I remember the house.
Not much obviously. A neighbour, Brian, were he?
Just partying all the time, Gordon, so he was.
Brian,
first house.
Brian, when it comes to Scotland, what's your thought process going into this Morocco game?
Yeah, I've been listening to the show driving home from work there, and listen, when I was a bit young, my friends used to call me Mr. Stato with figures and stuff like that and stats, but I'll tell you what the point I'm wanting to make is I've heard a lot of people talking about Scotland's chances of qualifying out of the group. Now, I'm old enough to remember as far back as the 74 World Cup and all the disappointments and all that since then at the World Cup, but I think we are just about through, and I don't want to get too carried away, but and I'll tell you why. And I mean, obviously, this World Cup, there's so many teams that are going to be able to qualify to the latter stages. And 3 points, I would say, is more or likely going to guarantee us qualification. And I'll tell you why, my thought process. There's probably, out of the 12 groups, there's going to be a few of the smaller or lesser-known nations, if you like, that are probably going to lose their 3 games. There is probably another couple of teams in that will maybe get a point or maybe a two points, but the very fact that I do not see 8 teams out of these 12 groups winning a game, every one of them winning a game, and I even thought after we won, I mean, I watched the game at the weekend and I thought it was quite painful at times to watch, but it was so important for us to get the actual victory, and I'm glad we did. Because now I don't even think, and I hope it doesn't happen, I don't even think if we get a bit of a doing off Morocco or Brazil, I don't think it will stop us getting through. I do think winning one game in this World Cup is probably going to be enough to get us through to the latter stages.
The thought process from, I think, people that are smarter than me that look into this will say that I think 3 points with a... It will come down to the goal difference, really. And look, Brian might be right. It might be a case of Scotland have done enough with 3 points right now, but we don't know exactly how it's going to play out. But you certainly know that Steve Clarke and the players won't be having that mindset of, you know, being comfortable and thinking, well, you know, 3 points are on the board. We can just not, you know, not be too concerned about what happens in the next 2 games, because it may well come down to goal difference. Look, yeah. Scotland might go out and get a win against Morocco and then we're through and that's all good, but you might need to think about goal difference. You might need to think about different permutations.
Yeah, listen, before we even kicked a ball, that first game was seen as if we can get 3 points, it's given us a great chance. I'm comforted by Brian being the Stato there, because I looked at some of the results and I think I read somewhere today as well, because there's been so many draws, it's kind of swayed a wee bit, you know, that we might need another point. But if Brian's quite confident with the way he sees it, then I'm happy to go along with that. But as far as Scotland are concerned, I think they'll be looking for, let's try and get another point and secure it.
Yeah, I said the other night there, I'd have loved another goal. I think that could maybe have cemented it. You're right about Brian, very confident there. I do remember the 74.
Yugoslavia.
When we were 2-0 up against Ayer in the first half, and we ended up, Yugoslavia beat Zaire 9-0. Do you remember it? When they substituted the goalkeeper and brought on the 5'4" goalkeeper, it couldn't reach a bar. And 9-0 the score was. And then Brazil 3-0. Zaire put us out. But I'm hoping that Brian has done his homework right. But I would just like that comfort blanket, another wee point. Yeah.
Thank you to Brian. Keep the calls coming, 01419511025. We're going to take a look at some of the domestic issues going on in Scottish football next.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
3 days to go until Scotland are back in World Cup action against Morocco. So if you've got any thoughts ahead of that game, 01419511025. We're going to take a look at some of the domestic matters that are going on in Scottish football, because of course they never stop, despite the fact the World Cup is ongoing. Let's speak to Nadim, who's a Rangers fan in Livingston. What are you thinking about your club at the moment, Nadim?
Hi, thanks, Dave McGaugh. How you doing, guys? Okay?
Good, thank you.
Yep.
As a couple of points. My first point, if you don't mind, I'd just like to say about Scotland. So I go to all the Scotland home games, and I've just got a funny feeling, guys, that on Friday, I think I think we'll get a point against Morocco, and because I think he'll go back to either a 5-4-1 or four at the back, you know, definitely five in midfield, a bit more defensive minded. So I think we'll definitely have, but we're used to that formation. So absolutely, I've got a feeling that we'll get a point, because a point's really all we need to guarantee it. So I think we'll 100%, hope, fingers crossed, everything crossed, that we get the point. I've got a feeling, funny feeling that we will. Just on Rangers then, I was speaking to a producer earlier on there, and I just, me as a Rangers fan, I'm really disappointed, if I'm honest, right? If what's going to happen, if what's getting talked about transpires, that Daniel Rowe moves on, and Gerrit McInnes comes in, for me, that just shows a lack of ambition by the board for me, right? And I know people will say, he's, you know, Gerrit McInnes is a good manager. I'm not saying he's not a good manager. He is. He's a really good manager. But he's a really good manager in Scotland. He's never been tested in Europe. He's never managed a squad the size of Rangers. He's never managed egos the size of some of the Rangers players that they'll have. So for me, I just feel, you know, if Daniel moves on, which I'm happy with, actually, because although he did okay last season, I think a few things that he's done, especially the thing with James Tierney, for me, just wasn't a Rangers manager. So I'm not over the fuss that he's leaving, but I think we can do better than Gerrit McInnes, in my opinion. Do you know, I just feel that he's defensively minded. He's not used at all to European football. I know he's got a connection to Rangers, I get that, but that can't be a prerequisite to getting a job at Rangers as a manager just because you've played for the club, you know.
Were you not impressed by what he did at Hearts last season, Nadeem?
I was impressed by what he did at Hearts last season, but what I think, Andrew, is that Hearts did well last season, but I think you've got to put it into context. Rangers and Celtic were probably the poorest they've been in a long time. That gave Hearts a bit of impetus, and that's why they were top of the league for so long. I'm not saying they didn't do well. They did. They did really well. But if Rangers and Celtic had been at the normal level that they were at, Hearts wouldn't have chanced the title. They'd have been sitting in third for most of the season.
See, the only thing I'll pick Nadeem up there about is the fact that he's talking about, and I can understand what he's saying about, well, Gerrit McInnes, Europe, not been tested in Europe. I think Rangers have got to take small steps here, right? I think they've got to get domestically football right first. You know what I mean? They didn't win a trophy again last year.
Also, how many times over the years have Rangers had managers that people have said, you know, the European performances have actually been good, but domestically the performances haven't been great? So is it about sorting that side of things
first
before?
Listen, Europe's a great bonus, and, you know, for the big clubs, there's no doubt about that. And that's where you want to be. You want to be in the big stage. Of course you do. But the way Rangers are just now, and obviously new owners coming in, and the situation with Russell Martin, now they're changing their manager again in the summer, I think you've got to look at domestically. Rangers finished third last year, right? When it got to the split, they fell apart. They didn't win a trophy. They didn't even look like winning a trophy, to be quite honest with you. So I think Gerrit McInnes may be brought in for that, because the one thing you can say about Derek is, he knows the Scottish game inside out. He's been in it long enough. And then I think what you do is you see how that goes, you build that, you try and go and win the league next year. Then you start looking at, right, our next step is how far, or what can we do in Europe? Can we go into Europe and make a bit of a, you know, a statement? But just now for me, for Rangers, domestically is the most important thing.
Yeah, they've got to get it right there, and that's why they've went through so many managers, because the quote is seconds nowhere, really, and this year they've finished third. You know, it's one of those ones where, am I surprised? You should probably not be surprised with anything in football. McInnes was there, they talked about the long-term project at Hearts, and all of a sudden it looks as if he's going to Rangers. I'll be interested to see, because Nadeem's obviously not too enamoured with it. I thought it would have been a popular appointment with the Rangers fans, but it doesn't appear so with Nadeem.
Yeah, I mean, Nadeem is saying that, you know, he didn't think Hart's campaign was as impressive as other people thought, because Celtic and Rangers were, you know, not as good as they would have been in other seasons. But the financial gap is so big between Celtic and Rangers and the rest of the teams in the league. For any other team to compete and get so close to winning a title, they kind of do need Celtic and Rangers to have an off season, and also need to have a very good season themselves to kind of even out and get to the point where,
of course, And I think what Derek done was he built a good team. He showed his man management skills, there's no doubt about that, because he took it to the last game, and in fact he had the title in his hands when Shanklin scored at Celtic Park. Yeah. The big problem you can look at is, yeah, I thought Celtic Rangers were really poor last year, but Martin O'Neill just come in and managed to drag them over the line with a double, which was incredible and shows you the strength of the management skills that he's got. But if you look at Hearts' final run-in, you know, they didn't win enough games. They collapsed. Let's be honest about it. They collapsed. I think they won some like 1-7, is that right? Or something like that.
They dropped points away from home,
yeah,
in the run.
Yeah. And it wasn't good enough. I can understand, and I don't like that, because it's nothing to do with Hearts, how bad Celtic Rangers have been, or their transfer windows have been, and change of manager. That's nothing to do with Hearts. I thought Hearts had a brilliant season. And they got to a stage where I think the Hearts fans believed they could go and win the league. But all credit to Celtic, they nipped it in the last day of the season. But I think Derek coming in domestically, I think can pull it round for Rangers. And I think that the majority of the Rangers fans will probably be delighted with the appointment.
Nadeem, did you have a candidate in mind, candidates in mind that you would have preferred to see come in rather than Derek McInnes?
Yeah, I did, Andrew. I mean, just to go back on Gordon's point there about domestically, I totally agree with that. Absolutely, you've got to look after your bread and butter, and the league is the bread and butter. But you can do both. And we've had it only a few seasons ago, we had it both with Steven Gerrard coming, right? Domestically, he got his back to winning the league. But also, he laid the foundations for Europe. So that season we got to the Europa League final. The majority of it.
But is the problem there, Nadeem, that season is the anomaly? If the, you know, the 14 seasons all around it, it hasn't clicked both domestically and in Europe. You know, it has in Europe at times, but Rangers didn't win the league title in any of those other seasons. Is it maybe about just trying to get the foundations in place with Derek McInnes? Rangers will be hoping that works with him, and then try and build from there.
No, I get that. But Gordon's talking about, you know, just look after domestically, which I agree with to a certain point. But what I'm saying is, we've had a situation in the last few seasons, an example where Steven Gerrard has been able to do it domestically and in Europe, right? So,
but how long did it take him to do it?
Well, it took him a few seasons.
There you go. So Derek McInnes, I'm saying that Derek can come in domestically first and foremost, sort that out, and then maybe next season or a season after, the same as Steven Gerrard as you're talking about there. And you remember he came in as a novice manager. He had never managed before. And you've got a manager with experience of the Scottish game, like Derek, coming in. Listen, I'm not saying, I couldn't care less who Rangers points a manager. Everybody's got their opinion on it. But, you know, I think that first and foremost, Rangers have got to settle down and look at their bread and butter, as you quite rightly say, and then build herself into being a team that can go in and try and compete in Europe for me.
I mean, I suppose that is the balance that he has to find. I just think, when you look at, I mean, Derek McInnes has managed in Europe, let's not forget, with Aberdeen, and it's been woeful. His record's been woeful in Europe, right? But I'm just saying, for me as a Rangers supporter, and going to the games, I want to see a certain brand of football, and I just don't think I'm going to get that. We're going to get that.
Who was the manager you had in mind then? You said you had somebody in mind.
I would have 100% taken Steven Gerrard back. Absolutely 100%. It's a no-brainer. Absolute no-brainer.
He said one good season in his management career.
But Gordon,
he said one good season. He went to Aston Villa and he flopped.
Aye, okay.
He went abroad and he flopped.
Right.
That's why he's out of a job. Is it because of the stature of the name and everything that he brings? Listen, as I say, I've not got a problem. If that's the way Rangers want to go, then fine. But I think they looked at Derek McInnes and what the job that he's doing, well, he done at Hearts and the players and everything and how far he got. Listen, it's all about opinions. Me personally, yes, he got Rangers that title. But since he left Rangers, he's done absolutely nothing in management.
Thank you to Nadeem. We'll leave that there because we're going to cross live to Boston once again. I think Gabriel has found a Scotland fan that's travelled quite a long way to get there.
Yes, I do. I've got Hayden with me, originally from the east end of Glasgow, come all the way from Melbourne. Some dedication. First of all, I'll ask you, how much money you spent so far to be here?
Don't really want to talk about it, to be honest, mate. about £4,000 to be up there. £4,000. Terrible, but it's what it is. I need to do it, don't I?
Yeah.
Need to.
Has it been worth it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've only been here for a couple of days. Still got a game left, but can't beat it. Look at the place. It's absolutely mental. It's jumping.
Tell us what you've done other than just party with the Tartan Army. What kind of things, what kind of American stuff have you been getting into?
I mean, we've been eating about, we've been doing all that kind of stuff, a bit of tourist stuff. I mean, in Boston, it's a great city, great people, all that sort of stuff. But the thing is, most of the tourist things are a day or two. So other than that, I mean, I think you spoke to my pal earlier. We've been out and about non-stop. I think this is the only day we've not actually had a drink yet. He's a lucky ones have caught me with 2 pints in me, and that's about that.
I love that. So the only day that he's not had a drink had yet, so you've caught me with 2 pints.
Just the two.
Exactly. Wait till
he's warming up.
I also like, I don't know whether Hayden thinks his family are listening or whatever, like, oh, trying to pretend that they've seen any sort of culture in their time in Boston and haven't been over there just having the best time ever.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's really Italians and Irish over here, so this is technically the culture, isn't it?
That's like the classic thing of people going abroad and just trying to find the closest Irish pub, Italian restaurant, no matter what city you are in the world. Just
yeah, that's
go in.
What I would do.
But you strike me as the type of person
I would never sightsee. That's nonsense. Get a nice pub, get a nice bit of food, get a nice bit of atmosphere, get the karaoke on, happy days.
Go into a city somewhere that's so culturally rich, somewhere in the world, and you are straight on maps going, finding an Italian restaurant, an Irish pub. Is
don't
that,
do
that,
sightseeing. Never have. I don't see the point.
By the way, not at the World Cup either.
I don't see the point.
Not in the World Cup.
Sorry. I really don't.
Simon strikes me as someone that would be taking in a bit more of the culture. Maybe not at the World Cup, but just generally.
I'd love, by all accounts, Boston is a fantastic city, but I would be with Hayden in the pub now.
Hayden, are there some friends that you maybe hadn't seen in a while that you've met up with over in America?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been away from home for about 2 years. I've been lucky enough to see my family between then and there, sort of in the middle of the world. But in terms of my friends, obviously it's too much of a long journey for them to come all the way over to Australia. But no, I've obviously met them here. I've been 6 years with 8 of us, and yeah, so that's probably why I've been in the pub non-stop, to be honest.
That's got to be the best type of reunion ever, though. Yeah. If you've not seen your pals in 2 years, and then all of a sudden you'll get the opportunity to go to Boston, Scotland at the World Cup, that's just got to be. Is it the greatest trip you've ever been on?
It is. I mean, I was already saying, I went to the Euros in Munich, and that was unreal. But I think, to be honest, this tops it. This tops it as well. Even just seeing that win, as well as obviously seeing the friends, it's non-stop over here.
Did you say you get tickets for all the games?
No, unfortunately not. I mean, listen, as I said, I've spent an absolute fortune, and I think the ticket prices were just over my threshold, unfortunately. But I've been lucky enough to get tickets for the fan zone, both all the games sort of idea. So, yeah, that'll do. And as I said, it's guaranteed it's going to be amazing.
Have you been to the karaoke bar yet? Because there's a few. That Hong Kong one, have you been to that?
Why do you think I'm saying that's after 4 pints?
Gondiel, there are so many karaoke bars in one area. We were in it on Friday night, the night before the game, as all professionals do, just testing out the
sound system.
What were you saying? What were you saying, Gabby?
I was joining in with some locals singing "So I'm a Cowboy on a Steel Horse I Ride." Bon Jovi.
I'm glad you told us who that was, by the way.
Right, we'll leave you two to head off and go to a karaoke bar. Based on that preview, you might leave the place empty. But thank you very much to Gabriel and Hayden. We'll let the two of you head off. We appreciate your time. What's going on? We've got Gabriel trying to sing karaoke to us down the line.
He's not very good. He's one that you just wait for getting up and you go, I'm next.
You go right after him, yeah.
Aye, I'm following Gabs. But listen, that shows you the commitment and everything.
He's over for Australia. It's incredible.
And meeting up with friends, family, everything. It just has brought everybody together.
I think everybody's said, should we get through? They're all staying.
We're gone.
They're all intending to stay.
That's it. Scotland get through, we'll just...
We're all gone. We're not missing out. Not a chance we're missing out.
Right, final chance. Get your calls in 01419511025. I promise there is going to be no singing after the break.
Live from Glasgow and live with the Tartan Army in downtown Boston. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
about 10 minutes or so to go to get your final thoughts in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is up next. He's a Celtic fan. Chris, how are you?
Not too bad, Andrew. How are you?
All good, thank you. What are you thinking about Celtic? What's at the forefront of your mind?
Well, there's obviously been rumours of Elijah Just, a possible deal in the making there. But once again, though, the Celtic board shows how far behind with the times they are. You have to wait until, you know, you just got into the World Cup, you don't even hear anything, and then you hear interest, and then he goes and scored two goals for New Zealand. So his value's obviously quadrupled in the past 24 hours. I think you've only really got to look across the city. As much as, you know, Rangers were a bit shambolic last year, I think they've been proactive this year in signing Shanklin before he even steps foot on the plane to America, because they know if he has a good World Cup, it's going to be very difficult to get a to get an offer from Hearts, you know, in the kind of regions of below 10 million, especially for a striker of his pedigree. I know obviously there's stuff in the clause in the contract, but if Tony Bloom's offered upwards of 10 million for his main striker, he's going to take it, regardless of any deal that's already on the table with him.
I think Shanklin is a different scenario. I think Shanklin had in his, remember, he was out of contract when Derek came in, and Derek was desperate to get him, so he held all the ace cards. So Shanklin's a bit different. He'd have had the clause in there, X amount. I do agree with Chris. You know, if you're interested in a player, and Elijah Just is a magnificent player, he is, he really has been terrific for Motherwell, and you're interested in him, you know, guaranteed, if he goes to the World Cup and has a good World Cup, not just you'll be interested in him, other clubs will sit up and take notice. And he's right, you've got to, see, in this game nowadays, especially before a World Cup, get your jobs done quickly.
I do wonder if it's something that, I mean, Motherwell will have been aware of it, that I think no matter what Elijah Just did at the World Cup, I don't think there's anything that would have taken away from his value. He's going to the World Cup with New Zealand, so I don't think he could possibly go to the World Cup and would come back from it, and people would be offering less money than they would have been before the World Cup. But
they'll from be looking for more.
But that's it. From a Motherwell perspective, maybe they've thought, well, just don't entertain any offers before the World Cup, because he's not going to devalue. Hope that he goes to the World Cup, does something like score two goals in his opening game, put in a brilliant performance, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's way more eyes on him, way more attention. You can probably get more money from him, potentially, as a smart play by Motherwell.
Yeah, and listen, I think that boat might have sailed in terms of a Celtic, or I think Rangers were linked with him as well. I think going and scoring two goals on that platform, where everybody's watching, I think that might catapult him to somewhere else, you know, whether it's English Premiership. But I think the value, obviously, there, it will benefit Motherwell. But it's football, it's happened before. But yeah, two goals last night, that was my immediate thoughts, that he might be out of reach of a Celtic already.
Even when it comes to potentially, you know, it might be money that Celtic could pay, but players can be tempted if it's a team in a top five league, a top four league, a top whatever it is. Even look at, I wonder, like Jens Bertolasco has signed him twice previously in his career. He's played very well under him twice. You wouldn't be surprised to see Toulouse trying to lure him over to France.
I wouldn't be surprised if Toulouse come in for one or two Motherwell players, I've got to say. But listen, it's great news for Motherwell. It really is. Obviously, they're down to final three now to try and get their own manager in, which is important. But when you've got players that are representing Motherwell in the World Cup and standing out and scoring goals.
Two good goals.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Listen, he's a terrific player. See, when I seen him in his first game in a Motherwell jersey, I thought, my God, where did they get this wee boy, this young kid from? He just looked so out his depth. And what a season he's had. He's been absolutely brilliant. And I do agree. I think that if you're a Celtic or a Rangers and you're looking and you've watched this guy all season, nominated for Player of the Year, then I think you've got to move quickly, because you know that other teams are going to be interested in this boy. No doubt about it.
There have been those habits in the last few transfer windows, Chris, certainly the two last season, where Celtic have left it late. They haven't maybe managed to get the players in that they wanted, have faced criticism for supporters, for the players, some of the players that were brought in, certainly. Is that the worry, that the same habits could creep in this summer?
It's not even a possibly about it. We're already seeing the proof in the pudding. You just hope that somebody upstairs in that Celtic boardroom's got a wee bit of savvy and at least going over at the World Cup and having a look and see what will be on offer. Surely they must have a hit list that's sitting somewhere in a drawer in Celtic Park that somebody at least would know what the transfer targets would be. You would think that Martin O'Neill's probably spoke to Dermot Desmond or Michael Nicholson over the past couple of weeks, even before he took the job on full time, because obviously he was heavily linked with it. So he would have probably sat down with him and said, look, these are the guys that I want, and these are the guys that I've seen last year, and these are the guys that I think would do a really, really good job for us. But it's not really starting out on a good footing if we're already behind the curve when it comes to obviously what Gordon was saying there, was one of the best players in the league last year.
I wonder when it comes to the situation with the two coaches that were there last season, Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, can that potentially stunt Celtic's progress recruitment-wise if that situation isn't ironed out quickly? Because when you look back to the end of the January transfer window, Martin O'Neill was saying that he was looking at players, Sean Maloney was looking at players, Mark Fotheringham were looking at players, they were running the rule over them. I think he was saying he had the final say, but certainly was taking advice from those guys. If the club haven't managed to come to an agreement with Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham yet, which it doesn't look like they have done because there's been no announcement, does that make it trickier for Celtic to try and get any early recruitment done, especially when they don't have that in-between, that sporting director, that director of football type?
It might do. I don't know the process with the recruitment. I don't have that insight. I don't think the personal terms of Sean Maloney or Fotheringham will affect the recruitment. They'll already, I would imagine, be looking at players. They'll have a list, a hit list, as Chris describes there, already. There'll be things at the World Cup as well. There's going to be huge transition at Celtic this year, I think. I mean, Engels is speculation about Engels, Hatate's away, Maeda will probably go. These are guys that have played big parts for Celtic in the last couple of seasons. These need to be replaced. The squad needs to be bolstered. I think quality needs to come in. You look back to the recruitment in January, it wasn't the best. Martin ended up not using a lot of those players. So there's going to be huge changes there. The frustration is obviously because there hasn't been anything done immediately. But I think they have to sort that out quickly with the staff for moving forward. As I say, the quality has to be a lot better than what they brought in January.
That story broke last Thursday about Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, and I think there was a train of thought from some people that, well, if they're the guys that Martin O'Neill wants, surely he just says to the Celtic board, I need these guys, and something will get sorted out. But it's now the following Tuesday and there's not been any movement. Is that a surprise to you, Gordon, that there's doesn't appear to be an agreement in place?
Yeah, I think it is, because I agree with Sid there that Celtic have got a big sort of a rebuilding in the playing staff, and they can't afford another bad transfer window because the Celtic fans have been going off their head. But they have to get the structure right first and foremost, and then you go from there. And I'm very, very surprised we've not had movement in that. I don't know if Martin O'Neill's in talk, because let's be honest, Martin O'Neill won the double with these boys, and they're the guys that done all the heavy lifting. Martin O'Neill is the man manager. He's a kingpin. He organises, he makes sure everything's in the right place. But these are the guys that do all the graft for him. So it's a good team, and it's a good blend, and they all work well together. I'd be interested in the coming days or weeks to see how that develops.
Thank you to Chris on the line. Thank you for joining us, whether it was on the live stream, whether it was on the radio. Thanks for getting involved on the phones, on social media. Thank you to Gordon DL and to Simon Donnelly. Of course, we are continuing to build up to that huge game between Scotland and Morocco on Friday night. Well done to Gary in Barrhead. He was the winner of the tickets for the Brayhead Arena, Scotland's fan zone for the Scotland-Brazil game. We'll be giving away more tickets tomorrow night. I'll be back here from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, and it's Callum Gallagher who's up next.